As we continue in this series, we're coming to some of the books that may be less familiar to some, and so a little harder to find. But nevertheless, use Psalms and Proverbs as your guide, and then keep moving forward, and you'll come to the book of Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes, and the third chapter. We're going to read the entire chapter, but we're also going to dip into some of the other chapters that follow. And so let's read as the Word of God records for us here. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboureth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Amen. And so reads the word of the Lord. Now as we come to the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm not sure what it says there right at the beginning of the book in your Bible, but nevertheless in my Bible it simply records, "Or the preacher." Because this is a book that contains a very important message. It's a book in which the writer is intending to share that which is heavy upon his heart, that which he believes is most necessary for his audience to hear and to understand and to comprehend even there in their own lives. Now come across to the very last chapter of the book and read together with me there in the chapter 12, because it gives a little insight into, as it were, the plan that the writer had as he embarked upon recording the words of this book. For in the verse 10, the preacher, and I remember this book is the preacher, Ecclesiastes or the preacher. And so this is the heart of the man who recorded these truths, the man whom the Lord moved even to put pen to paper and impart such wisdom even unto us who read and behold the things that are recorded. So it says the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. And so beginning in the chapter 1 and continuing then to this 12th chapter, we're reminded that every word that's recorded for us, every phrase, every sentence, every chapter as we come to it, and the chapter divisions, remember, have been inserted for us by those who have translated our Bible very helpfully to help us make our way through Scripture. But nevertheless, as we read from beginning to end, the heart of the preacher was to impart that which was upright or good and that which was truth. And so all that we read in these words together, all that we read within the pages of this book, we can bank upon the fact that they either have occurred, are ongoing in our lives, or will occur one day in our lives. It tells us in verse 11, the words of the wise are as goads, as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so we come to the second and what are referred to as the books of wisdom. And as we come to read and view for ourselves that which Scripture is seeking to impart to us tonight, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. If you leave with nothing else, understand this. Fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. We believe that these words were penned for us by the wisest man in Old Testament times who ever lived, Solomon himself. And so that wisdom that was given to him by God is wisdom that you and I do well to take on board as we seek to make our way through this journey of life. But I suggest to you that even far superior to that is the wisdom that's imparted to us that is relevant for those amongst us tonight who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And to them, Solomon would say, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Wisdom at its greatest is simple. It's understandable by all. In fact, it's been well said that some of the wisest people in the world could speak in a way that everyone in the world could understand. And so wisdom isn't wrapped up in fancy words. Wisdom isn't wrapped up in long, never-ending sentences. Wisdom isn't wrapped up in phrases that you and I can't wrap our heads around. Wisdom is imparted to us in a way that you and I can fully understand and can fully break down so that we can see how it impacts upon our day-to-day life. And so we come back to chapter 3. We see that the wisdom that's imparted here to us is simply that there's a time for everything. And the question I pose to you tonight as we make our way through this message for the next number of moments is simply this. What time is it in your life? What time is it in your life? You see, the reality is that we've taken a journey through everyone's life in this third chapter. For the Word of God begins and says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And here's something that you and I can identify with, because in the verse 2 he says, there was a time to be born. Now, you and I don't perhaps remember every single detail, if at all any details of the day that we entered this world. But nevertheless, there fixed upon a calendar year after year is an everlasting memorial signifying and testifying this reality that upon this date, at this time, this individual entered into the world. We celebrate them whether we like them or not. They're called birthdays. And some of us delight in the pomp and the ceremony. Some of us delight in the attention that a birthday brings. Others, like me, absolutely hate them, despise them, and would never miss it at all if it was never celebrated or mentioned. But nevertheless, we all know when we were born. For many, we can remember the birth of those who are near and dear to us. The very first sight of that little one, the little fingers, the little toes, the little lips, the little nose. They're precious memories. But the reality is that we all can identify that starting point in our lives. We can all point back to a certain date at a certain time and know that our earthly journey began at that very moment as we opened our eyes in this world. And that's not when our life began, for we as Bible-believing people believe that life begins at the very point of conception. But the earthly journey that we perceive and that time whenever we open our eyes in the world begins at that moment when we are born. So there's a time to be born. As the writer seeks to impart wisdom to us, he takes us on a journey. Come with me again to chapter 12. For we all know we don't stay babies forever. All the mess and all the muck, well, that soon disappears. We become a little more civilized, just a little. We become a little bit more respectable as we make our way through life and get a little older and mature. Nevertheless, he has wisdom to impart to us as the days of the infanthood are replaced with the days of youthfulness. For he says in verse 12, in our chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And here a wise man is seeking to implore those who find themselves in the very throes of their youthfulness, who know what it is to face the struggles and the turmoils that we know from the changing seasons of our youthfulness. How that we go through different stages and our body changes, our emotions change. We begin to understand that the world is a great and grand place. We begin to understand that the little bubble and the cocoon that we've relished and enjoyed for so long in our lives, well, there's so much more to this world, both good and bad, beyond the walls of our house, beyond the streets of our town, and beyond the borders of our own country. So the reality is that when we're living through such times, we give very thought or concern for what lies ahead, nor indeed do we reflect too often on what has already passed. We embrace the challenges, we fight through the struggles, and we look forward to embracing the world and to getting out there and finding out what it's all about and finding out really what the world has to offer. But the wise man says, in such times, when there are many temptations, when the horizon is ever broadening, and whenever opportunities seem to be coming at us thick and fast, and we can't seem to turn them all down, because one of them has to be the right one, he says, remember now thy Creator. You see, the reality is that we're all handmade by God. We're all given that uniqueness, His mark upon us. The fingerprint that belongs to me, He gave it to me. The DNA that stands apart from yours, that's within my body, He gave it to me. I had a Creator. One who at the very beginning of time breathed into my forefather Adam, and he became a living soul. And one who at the beginning of my life gave me life here upon this earth, but placed within me also that never-dying soul. And so the wise man says, in the midst of growing up and embracing the world and exploring all that lies before us, remember thy Creator. Now remember, he has said, very clearly that the conclusion of everything he has to say, if he could sum it up in one statement, is simply this: fear God. So to the youth, he says, remember God. And all of the excitement of opportunity and all of the excitement of growing up and finding out even what you're capable of and how far you can go and how many people you can meet and the relationships that you can build and the friendships that you can make. Never forget that there's a God in heaven who made you, who created you, who desires even to do with your life a work that no one else can do. That can only ever be realized if you remember him. Life continues. You get to the working stage of life, and so in the, back in chapter 3, he says there's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profiteth he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Then in verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. You see, young people, it's not to burst your bubble, but the reality is that as the years pass, no matter how exciting the world looked, whenever you began to fully realize just how big it was and how many, many opportunities and how many avenues of potential were there for you, the truth is that very soon you'll be disappointed. Very soon you'll face heartache. Very soon you'll come to sorrow. Very soon the thing which once excited, well, it just doesn't excite anymore. The one thing that brought a smile to the face, well, it's just mundane and ordinary. Life isn't what it seems. It's a battle and a struggle from beginning to end. Indeed, in chapter 7, he tells us this. He says, a good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. There are many in this world who will seek to tempt and entice each and every one of us to enter in more and more to the things of this world. But this wise man, this wise preacher who, remember, is teaching us and instructing us truth, he tells us that life, it's not all that it's cracked up to be. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. All is that which simply leaves us feeling empty, never truly fills the void that's within, never gives us that sense of belonging or purpose that we all crave for, never gives us long-lasting relationships, nor indeed that fellowship that God designed us for. Because life is that which constantly takes, despite its promise to give. Now you may say today, well, I have indeed enough to keep me going and I have plans, hopes, dreams, and ambitions. There's things I'd like to do. There's things that I'd like to have. There's places I'd like to see. I'd like to be able to enjoy all that this world has to offer. I'd like to be able to enjoy the reward and the effort of my hands. And perhaps you're with us tonight and you're not in the youthful side of life. Rather, you're in the elder stage of life. And so you come to this meeting and you think to yourself, well, I've amassed a lot and I've experienced a lot and it hasn't all been that bad. Nevertheless, the preacher says in chapter 5 and verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. You see, the hymn writer knew what it was to pen those words, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. And even as I stooped to drink, they mocked me as I wailed. Because its reality is that within us all, God has placed that desire to be fulfilled only in Him. And you can search all over the world and you can try all that this world has to offer and you can acquire more of this world and its possessions and its riches. But the truth of the matter is that as this preacher alerts us to, the fact of the matter is that you will never truly be satisfied. Life only ever serves constant diet of disappointment, heartache, and turmoil. There are many here tonight who can testify in their own life's experience just how much life can bruise, just how deep life can wound, just how unsatisfying life truly is. But the writer reminds us to everything there is a season. And that emptiness and that void, that discontentment, that unhappiness that you're experiencing as you know what it is to remain lost, dying, and perishing in your sin, as you survey life, no matter how good it has been to you or no matter how much of a struggle it has been for you, the reality is that as you look back upon the days that you live and look to the future, there's only one truth that the writer desires for you to remember. Fear God. Because there's a time to be born. And there's a time to live. But there's a time to die. That's what awaits every single one of us. A date in the calendar of God known only to Him. That your last step is taken. Your last breath is inhaled. Your last word is spoken. The Bible tells us that after death, the judgment. And so as we come to consider this preacher's message and the wisdom that he imparts, and remember he said, the conclusion of the whole matter is simply this, fear God. Tell me tonight, why would you die without ever coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because death is not the end. Death is that which ushers us to that place where we shall stand before God. That time whenever we shall give an account to God. That time whenever the Bible records the books are open and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, tonight, if you're here outside of Christ, there is that time that you can identify whenever you were born. There is a reality that you can look back on in the days of your life, and no doubt you can enter into the testimony that the preacher, this man of wisdom, imparts to us here. There was times of sorrow, there was times of laughter, there was times of mourning, there was times of dancing, there was times indeed to plant and to pluck up, there was times to work hard, and there was times to enjoy that which you have worked for. But the reality is that we're all on the fast track to the day that is marked in the calendar of God, that is simply defined for us here as being the time to die. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to stand before Him? Are you ready to give an answer to the question, what then have you done with Him who is called Jesus? Tell me, standing before Him upon that day, what shall your answer be? And oh, the writer of this book reminds us that in fearing God, that's the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because to fear God, to fear the God with whom we have to do, to fear the God who is described as being the judge of all the earth, the one who always does right, the one who knoweth all things, the one from whom nothing is hid, the one that knows every thought that we think, every word that we say, every deed that we do. That's who one day you will stand before. And oh, in that day, the opportunity of mercy has gone. The invitation of grace is no longer extended. That is a day whenever He sits as a judge, and in judgment and justice, He will judge you. That's the day that the Bible describes as falling into the hands of an angry God. Angry with the sin that you've lived in all the days of your life. Angry with the refusal to repent and to believe the gospel. Angry with the world and the sinners in the world who have turned their back on Christ and never accepted the offer. And so there's a time to be born, a time to live. But what you don't know is when it will be your time to die. And so the preacher says to you tonight, fear God. Praise be that the gospel reminds us that tonight He stands one ready, willing, and able to pardon. He stands one who extends an invitation to all who hear this gospel message tonight. Come to Him. Make no delay. Come to Him, repenting of your sin, putting your faith and trust in Christ alone for your soul's salvation. Turn ye. Oh, turn ye. Why would you die? Why would you face that inevitable day, never having taken care of the matter of the destiny of your soul? Why struggle through life with all of its discontentment, all of its unhappiness, all of its never-ending disappointment? Why not come to Him now? To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. The purpose of God for you tonight has been here, and to hear in this building, receive a message that could forever change your life. This is a time that God has created within time for you. It's a time whenever at your heart's door He's standing knocking. It's a time whenever He is seeking to shine a light in your darkened heart. It's a time whenever He is desiring to make bare that arm that is mighty to save. You're here tonight because it's His purpose